Welcome to the Red and Neck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events will help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. So let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Yeah, let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. I hope it is. Thanks for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media. If you want to join the show live, come to reallibertymedia.com. You know, and hit the live button. You can listen live. There's a chat room there. You can chat live right here while I'm on the air. But I want to tell you, I appreciate all the support on the podcast, Spotify, Pandora, iHeart, wherever you find me. I really appreciate it. I'm surprised to see how many people are starting to watch the videos I do, which is awesome. A little 5-minute take every day. I really enjoy doing it too. I got to turn the air conditioner off. Hang on. I'm sure you guys can hear that little hum in the background. But anyway, it's not horribly hot here. But anyway, thank you guys for all the support. I really appreciate it. I love having people join live. That's pretty awesome. But I hope, you know, I pass on something that you can use. I'm telling you, the weeks, days, every day that goes by that some story just flat irritates me. Because I know that people aren't getting the truth. I have at least three more editions today of stuff that was called fake news a year ago, 2 years ago, that has been proven to be true. And it's stuff that's important. It's stuff that if people knew, they would have made better decisions, probably, with their life choices concerning COVID. But we'll get to that in a bit. Anyway, just appreciate all the support. You know, I picked music today. I didn't really pick music. Oh, let me get this announcement out of the way quick before it happens. About once every 18 months, I am the on-call dentist for Oregon. Guess what? That's this week. So if I get an emergency call, I have my phone sitting right here. I have my earbud somewhere ready to go. Yeah, right here. I will put music on and I will take the call, handle the call, and then come back on. So this show may be chopped up a bit. I may be breaking for music for 5 or 10 minutes, or hopefully not any longer than that. And then I'll come back and finish. And you know, if it gets to be stupid, like if I get 5 calls, maybe even only 3, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But just a heads up. So if I say, okay, we're going to music, just go get a drink, go fire it up, go do whatever it is you want to do to make the rest of the show better. Oh, while I handle dental emergencies. Speaking of that, wait one sec. Yeah, speaking of that, so I did the, I do the children's dentistry thing once a month. And I do the children's dentistry thing once a month. And so Monday I went to Salem and we did the root canals on the kids it is so hard for me to believe that nobody else in Oregon right now will see, well, kids that have adult teeth that need root canals. But it's crazy. But I guess they won't. Well, I shouldn't say that. I guess for whatever reason, I've been chosen and volunteered kind of to do this. I didn't volunteer. Trust me, they're paying me a lot of money. But anyway, so we went down there Monday. We did 15 canals, which that was only 5 patients. 3 patients needed 3 root canals. One patient needed four and one patient needed one. We got them all done successfully. I think one's going to be kind of questionable. But all in all, pretty successful day. And yeah, so I'm doing that. And looks like we're going to make that a regular thing now. I missed 1 month. I think it was June. They didn't have anybody scheduled. Okay, so we did now July. I'm going back August 8th. My knee surgery is the 10th of August. Oh, yeah, and I want to also make this announcement that this weekend's show, I'm going to do on Sunday following Hal Anthony behind the woodshed. Hal is on from, let me get this right for crying out loud. He's on at 3 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. And I'm going to follow him up. He's on for 2 hours, so he'll end at 5 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. And I might give it a couple minutes. He's usually so timely, man. He hits the marks like clockwork. So he'll probably be done right at 5 p.m. Eastern. And I'll start shortly after that. And we'll just make it a double header on Sunday. How does that sound? Because Saturday, we have family coming over, and we're going to be doing a family thing. You know, Rochelle's brother is coming up from California. Her other brother lives here in Oregon. And the kids and grandkids, it's going to be a big thing. We're going to barbecue and drink adult beverages and, you know, do some fun stuff. We got a stage going on. We're going to do some karaoke. A lot of these people are musically inclined. There's a drum set coming, some bongos coming. Guitars are going to be played. It's going to be a grand old time. So Saturday, yeah, it's going to be busy. If you haven't seen the drone videos over on BitChute or Rumble, you should go check those out. You can see, like, we did a ton of improvement. You know, mostly maintenance stuff on the landscaping, but it's made it really pretty. And just cleaned it up real nice. New bark mulch, new round stone, new cedar chips. It really is nice. Oh, and also one of those videos, I actually was filming the landscaping area and I saw a buck deer. Here we have blacktail and whitetail, and in eastern Oregon they have mule deer, but our deer on the west side of Oregon are pretty small for the most part. But you can see this buck. I had the drone up. I was videotaping the landscaping, and I saw this buck and three does in the north pasture, and I just flew the drone on up there and got some pretty good video of them. So if you go look at the videos on BitChute and Rumble, if you look for the one, I think it says landscaping and buck deer or something like that, should be pretty easy to find. And that whole drone thing is just a new thing I'm doing just for fun, and I'm telling you, man, it's getting to be addictive, just like putting a drone up and, you know, like seeing the world from a different perspective. It's awesome. A ton of fun. All right, let's see what other announcements I have to make. Oh, I wanted to tell you guys something really fun. So there's part of the driveway that we wanted to widen. And I knew, you know, we have a lot of really hard clay soil up here on the hill. Now, down in the valley, they have beautiful soil, but up here on the hill, we got a lot of clay. And so it's hard to, you know, dig it out and stuff. Anyway, we wanted to widen the driveway, so I knew I was going to have to take the tractor out there and backhoe some of that clay out and, you know, widen the driveway. Well, I knew I was going to have to go from the like the jump seat in the back where you operate the backhoe to the driver's seat of the tractor where you operate the tractor. And I was like, you know what? It's time for the oldest grandson to learn how to drive this tractor. Now, the tractor has a dead man switch in the seat, and you have to weigh like 110 pounds to trigger that switch. Yes, I know you can bypass it, but we're not going to, because that's not the way we do things here on the homestead. So Hayden, the teenage 13-year-old, actually, I don't know, he might only be 12, but let's say he's 13. I think he is 13. Let's say, I got him out on the tractor and I had him drive it and I gave him specific instructions. And you know how young kids are these days, man, their attention span is so short that you really got to keep them focused. But he was so awesome at just like following specific instructions and doing exactly what I told him to do and how I told him to do it. It was fantastic. So made it go really fast. This is what we did. So I had him position the tractor. Well, first I taught him how to operate the whole thing. And then I got in the jump seat and he was in the driver's seat and I had him line us up on the line that I wanted to dig. And I would dig as far as the backhoe would reach, dug that all up. And then I would pull the backhoe and my stabilizers up. And then I would turn to him and say, okay, pull 5 feet more forward. And I taught him the specific way I wanted him to do it. And he did that every single time, put his foot on the brake, raise the bucket, put it in gear, take the parking brake off, go forward. And he did that. And then he would stop and he would put the bucket down, put his foot on the brake, put it in neutral, pull the parking brake and tell me he's secure. And then I would dig, you know, however far the bucket would reach. So we did that for 2 hours today in the middle of the heat. And let me just say, this heat wave has not been much of a heat wave. Yeah, it's been hot. And yeah, for Oregonians, I would say it's probably borderline miserable. Sort of. It could be. I know for a lot of Oregonians, this would be miserable. Because maybe yesterday in Portland they hit 101, but we didn't. I think we're in the mid-90s, which I hate 90s, personally. Like, when it gets 90, I don't like it. 80s is okay. You know, 89's okay. Man, it hits 90, I start thinking I'm going to start whining. And by 93, I'm going to start whining. But anyway, so we were out there, it was probably 91 degrees out, so it was hot, and we took a break like 45 minutes in, and we went and, you know, refilled our water bottles and drank up a liter of water and went back out and worked some more, and, you know, we had our hats and stuff on, so it was cool. Anyway, got that done. Well, no, we didn't get it done, but we did 2 hours, and that's what I wanted to do, is like 2 hours outside in the sun. And I just want to say it was awesome. Hayden did such a great job and it really made it easy. And I mean, I'm telling you, you know, kids on farms, they learn to do stuff. And I'm not saying that we have a farm, anything like that. I'm just saying, you know, 13-year-olds on the farm. Hell, I had a 13-year-old patient. Well, actually, he was probably 14. Yeah, he was 14 when I saw him. And I was asking him, you know, this was about a year ago. I was asking him, like, you know, hey, well, what do you like to do for fun? He goes, oh, I drive tractor. He's like, I drive tractor, you know, for, you know, I work. I mean, it's work, but I make money and I enjoy it. I have fun. Kid was 14. And he goes, yeah, I'm the guy who, he said, that car hit on a local highway and people got hurt and it was a horrible crash. And he was the one driving the tractor. And you know, farm equipment in Oregon has right away when they're on the road. So, you know, somebody made a mistake and somebody got horribly injured. I don't think anybody died, but anyway, the kid felt really bad. But he was 13 at the time, driving a tractor from one field to another. He wasn't doing anything wrong. You know, he was just doing what he does, you know, what farmers do. And, you know, my point is, so Hayden's now 13, he lives on this little homestead, and now he's learning to drive the tractor, which is kind of cool, because, you know, once he learns how to do it, then he'll probably want to do stuff with it, which means, you know, I won't be out there having to do stuff. Although, I love being on the tractor. I guess I'm kind of like a big kid. You know, if there's tractor work to be done, I don't mind pulling out the John Deere and getting it done. So anyway, that was fun. All right, let's get into the notes and see what the world has to hand us today, for crying out loud. Oh, yeah, don't forget, this is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. Keep that in mind always. I hope I never turn left, but, you know, I could make a mistake one of these days. Yeah, we made a lot of aesthetic improvements around the property, getting ready for family to come, done a lot of maintenance, and, yeah, big event. Oh, hey, you guys remember the gelet gun I told you about a few months ago? I picked up this gelet gun. It's G-E-L-L-E-T, gelet gun. They're these little tiny beads. They're like almost microscopic beads when you buy them. And you soak them like in a gallon of water. And they swell up to the size of a pellet, like a BB. Like bigger than a BB, but, you know, about that size. Just imagine they're about that size. And you put them in this, like this gun I have is single shot and full auto. And you can shoot anything with these beads. It doesn't even hurt. And the beads dissolve in like 2 days. So you don't even have to worry. And they're not harmful to animals. They're filled with water. So it's not, they're gel caps, basically, filled with water. And I think when I got it, I was telling you guys about how much it makes me laugh every time I shoot that thing. Like we chase the chickens out of the landscaping or out of the garden. We kind of let them. We let them in the garden a little bit. For one, you know, they'll fertilize as they go, and they'll pick bugs and, you know, weeds and stuff on their way, but we don't want them scratching up everything and digging out plants, so we only give them a certain amount of time in there before they start causing problems. And then, well, we have Dexter, the mini Aussie, who will round up the chickens in a heartbeat. And he loves doing that, so we'll let him do it. But sometimes I just get out the gelet gun and, you know, full auto chase chickens out of the yard. And it's kind of funny, because as soon as they hear that first shot, yeah, they are on the move because they know I'm after them. And it's kind of like Pavlov's dogs now. As soon as they hear that shot, they know it's time to run. So they get after it. It's pretty damn funny. Okay, but here's what's really funny. The New York Police Department, New York City Police Department, is taking these gelet guns off the street. Which is the most bizarre thing, and I'll tell you why. Number one, they don't look anything like a real gun, in my opinion. Okay. Maybe that's a stretch too far. They sort of. Mine's white. I mean, I don't know how many white guns are out there. I'm sure there's somebody who thought, you know what? I'd really like to have a white gun. So somebody probably made him a white gun. But, you know, the new Glock that I bought, that of course I lost in a fishing accident in the bottom of Klamath Lake. Is there such thing as Klamath Lake? I don't know. That thing is mostly like plastic or carbon or something. So you could probably replace all those parts on it with, you know, whatever color plastic or carbon fiber or whatever it is you want to put on it. But anyway, so number one, they don't really look like a gun. And number two, I mean, at 100 feet, you'd be lucky if the pellet's still in the air. I mean, gelet is still in the air. Because they're not very powerful. I mean, you could literally stand right next to somebody and shoot them, and that it's going to be like, oh, why did you shoot me? It's minor at the very... I mean, it doesn't even hurt the chickens. Or... I don't think I've shot anything else with it. No, just... I think somebody shot at a cat one day, but yeah, it won't hurt. Anyway, but yeah, the New York City Police Department is taking gelet guns off the street. You know, for who knows why. Because they look dangerous, I guess, because we no longer have any sense of humor about anything that looks like a gun. Well, especially in New York City. So anyway, there goes your fun, another reason not to live in the big city. I think there's probably a ton of reasons not to live in the big city. I was thinking the other day, I was thinking about how, you know, you keep hearing this conversation about wanting to reduce the population of the world by 3 or 4 billion people. And I was thinking, I was kind of having this debate in my head, okay, which 3 or 4 billion is it going to be? So will it be the 3 or 4 billion that live in the cities, you know, this very densely populated jungle of humanity? Or will it be the 3 or 4 billion that live out on the land, making food, growing their own food, you know? And I was kind of thinking of the philosophical debate between these two kinds of people. You know, the people who live in the city are pretty much followers. They're pretty much followers. And I know that's a generalization, and I'll probably catch some flack about it from somebody. But if you think about it, you know, to live in the city, you got to abide by all the rules. You know, you're going to ride the bus. You got to stand at the bus stop or the train. You got to stand at the train stop. You got to pay before you go through the turnstile. You got to sit in a certain place. You got to, you know, ring the bell to get off or not. I think they only stop at, you know, regular whatever stops they have. You know, you got to follow all the rules and, you know, and just living in the big city. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of rules. I mean, just think about it. Like, between here and work, my work, if you've watched my ride along, there's maybe one stop sign. And I mean, I don't see anybody going to work and back. Very rarely do I pass another car because I go early. I get off at 5. I mean, this is a small town. It's not that busy. I still stop at stop signs even though I'm on a motorcycle. And I guess in Oregon, you don't have to actually put your foot down stop. You can kind of do a rolling stop if there's nobody, you know, coming. But I still stop for the hell of it. You know, and up here on the whole, oh, I got to tell you guys this story as an example of, like, rules. We had an incident here on the hill in the last week. And I can only laugh about this because it's so flippin' ridiculous. So here's the scenario. The newest family on the hill had their father-in-law move in with them in the last, I don't know, couple weeks, right? Well, their neighbor, who is also a very good friend of ours, like, he's one of the guys, I've talked about him before, Rick. Rick is one of the guys who, if anybody up here needs something, he will find the resources and the people to get it done. And that means all of us. Like, he'd call me up, hey, Mike, I need your backhoe down at so-and-so's place. We're going to dig out something, septic system or whatever. And, you know, we just like, okay, let's go. We're doing it. So Rick lives right next door to this new family. Okay, now all of us up here kill gophers. Like, we either kill them with traps, we kill them with grubs that have something in them that'll kill them. We kill them with 22s. We kill them with shotguns. We kill them. I killed one with a lawnmower. I'll spare you the gory details. But I did kill one with a riding lawnmower, and it surprised me as much as it surprised that gopher and anybody I told the story to. But anyway, so apparently this new father-in-law that moved in with this new family, he calls the sheriff. And he complains that somebody is shooting, and I'm going to air quote this, within city limits, and he wanted to file a cruelty to animals complaint, okay? Now, probably for those of you who live out in the country, you're thinking, well, this is just ridiculous because, number one, you're not in the city limits. Number two, yeah, everybody's going to kill gophers. And number three, no, it's not cruelty to animals when you're killing a gopher, for God's sake. Well, guess what? Sheriff shows up, parks on Rick's property, and he gets out of the car and he starts telling Rick that he can't fire a weapon within city limits and that the neighbor has called to complain about animal cruelty because he's killing gophers. Now, here's the difference between living in the big city and living in the country. Rick doesn't respond in any way, shape, or form to the sheriff except with this. I want you to get your car off of my private property, and I want you to call your supervisor. That's the difference, man, because I think most everybody up here on the hill has that same mentality. Like, we know what your laws are. We're not going to do something that violates those laws. And if we do, you will not be aware of it. Most of us, I think, just, you know, we live life not to harm anybody else. We don't, you know, go looking to start trouble with the law because we don't want them up here snooping around, because we just don't. It's not like we have anything illegal going on. We just don't want them up here. So the sheriff, deputy sheriff, says to Rick, he says, so, hey, why are you getting all, you know, short and ugly with me? And Rick just repeats, I want you to get your car off my private property and I want you to call your supervisor. So sure enough, the deputy sheriff knows he has to get off that private property. He has no reason to perform any kind of search and seizure. I mean, no law has been broken that he knows of. It could have just been gossip and hearsay. So he gets in his little patrol car and he rolls off of Rick's property, and he's just parked on the road right there, and he gets on the phone and you see this conversation go on. He doesn't even get out of his car and tell Rick, I'm sorry for bothering you. He literally just slowly drives off. Like, doesn't get back out of the car. Doesn't, you know, no further pursuing anything, because he knows he effed up hugely by, number one, accusing anybody outside the city limits, out here in the country, of firing a gun within city limits. I mean, come on. Yeah, so that was pretty hilarious. I mean, we're still laughing at that, and that happened Friday night, I think. But yeah, shaking our heads about the new, you know, the new city boy who's moved in with his kids on the hill, and hopefully he'll come around. I'm going to tell you the other side of this story. So the father-in-law who moved in with the kids, they all were putting together, they were making, you know, putting, leveling out ground to move another house, mobile, I don't know what you call them, modular home, onto the property, right? But they hadn't filed any permits. They didn't file for electrical. They didn't file for well. They didn't file for septic. They didn't file for foundation. They didn't file for building permit. They didn't file for one single thing. They just started doing it themselves. Now, Rick, who has been around a while, after the sheriff left and Rick went down, you know, they talked through their fence, he was like, hey, look, we all live in the country, because we don't want, you know, hassles from anybody. You know, we live here, we do our thing, you know, we don't harm each other, you know, we look out for each other, we'll do anything for each other up here. He says, I just want to tell you, he says, you start screwing with me, he says, I know for a fact you don't have a permit for that modular home you're putting in. You didn't get electrical, you didn't get, you know, a foundation permit, you didn't get a septic permit, you didn't get a water permit, you didn't get any kind of permits to allow you to put that house on that property. And I know that's going to happen in the next week or two. And I'm just telling you, if you want to screw with me, I'm going to open a can of whoop-ass on your whole home placement thing. And I mean, Rick, you know, he knew all along what was going on, but nobody's going to say anything. Hell, you want to do what you want to do, you do it. You know, as long as it doesn't interfere with anybody, do it. But man, you start screwing with somebody up here on the hill, and there's going to be a price to pay for sure. And it may not be friendly living, you know, when it starts freezing and trees fall and your road is blocked and you need somebody to come help. Well, you may be on your own. Who knows? Anyway, let's get on to the current events, man. There's so many of them I want to chat about today. If you haven't, okay, so I'm doing these ride-alongs. They're like a 5-minute take, and I'm going to incorporate some of those back on to the one-hour show that I do here on Wednesdays and Saturdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. Of course, this week we're moving the Saturday show to Sunday. That's going to be a temporary thing, really. But I was talking the other day about, people are really getting me kind of fired up about Trump. And I don't mean in a good way. Because everybody is, you know, you hear the mainstream media even talking about, you know, is Trump going to run in 20... Of course he's going to run. Come on. He's got unfinished business. But everybody talks about him like he's the guy. And he's not the guy. And what irritates me is I hear both sides talking about it. You know, conservative media and the liberal media both. You know, the liberal media are just talking about how horrible it would be if Trump got reelected, and you know, are the Democrats going to be ready? You know, even though it looks like the midterms are going to be, you know, a body slam, you know, it's going to be even worse, you know, if Trump gets elected, and they try and, you know, the whole January 6th committee thing, which everybody now is saying, you know, this was like their little mini series and they're having their grand finale, and, you know, it's been a complete joke, which it has been a complete joke. I think that's one thing that everybody can agree on is, you know, for some kind of a trial, you know, without having any opposing questioning going on and not actually presenting any evidence, it really is pretty much just a clown show and everybody sees through it. But my point is, you know, they keep going and keep trying to get, you know, Trump. They keep trying to, you know, make him look like this horrible guy. They're still trying to find a reason to bring charges against him. Which you gotta think to yourself, if they're trying that hard to keep this guy from running for president again, there's only one reason why they're trying that hard, and it's because, of course, they know they can't beat him. Without cheating. I mean, without 2,000 mules, you know, loading the ballot boxes. But what everybody seems to forget is that Trump was the one who started all these mandates. He's the one who started the lockdowns, who went along with Fauci, like, wear a mask, don't touch your face, wash your hands, all that stuff. You know, and stay in your home. We're going into lockdown. You're not allowed to work. We're closing all these small businesses. It's 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And then, you know, week after week, month after month. And he was the one who did that in the beginning. Biden just took over where he left off. But man, both sides are like that. So everybody who's on the Trump side, the Trump bandwagon already, I mean, they've forgotten that he's the one who did this, who started this. And now we're finding out so much stuff that wasn't true in the beginning, it wasn't true in the middle, and it still isn't true. It's just that now we're actually getting data to prove that those things aren't true. But do you think that data is going to be presented in the mainstream media? It's not. It's not because we don't have journalists in mainstream media anymore. I don't know what this, I don't even know what you would call this degree that people are getting when they go to college to become a journalist. Because basically now journalists sit in front of a TV or in front of a radio microphone and they read the news that somebody else has printed up, you know, that the AP has put on a wire and distributed all over the world. You know, do you hear anything that really gets your attention on any kind of mainstream media, even your local news? Do you ever hear anything that is controversial at all? I don't. I check in on it every single day. Of course, I mean, in some ways I have to so I can talk about stuff and know that nothing is changing. But I'll tell you what is changing. What is changing is people are getting their own platform. They're getting their own podcast. They're getting their own streaming service. They're going live with, you know, cameras, microphones, people who probably never imagined that they would be in a position to make a difference are making a difference. The new media is this. You know, people who want to, people who are actually searching for the truth are not going to the TV. They're not going to CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. I don't even know any of the other ones. That seems like the, pretty much the biggest ones to me. They're not going there to find the truth because the people who are searching for the truth know that they're going to hear the exact same thing on any of those platforms. You know, you get lured into this kind of false sense of maybe security thinking that Fox News is, you know, doing exposés. They're not really. They don't stray from the main story that much. They may try and put the progressive, the liberals on alert a little bit, but you don't see anything like mind-blowing coming out of Fox News. Oh, I enjoy Fox. I don't watch it. I enjoy the personalities on Fox News. I enjoy Tucker Carlson coming out and, you know, tearing people to shreds once in a while. He seems like a pretty honest guy, but you got to remember, all of those media companies are owned by a very small number of companies, corporations. Those corporations won't allow any, they won't continue to support your programs if you stray too far from their line. So people who have, you know, a much smaller budget, extremely small budget, maybe all they have is their Apple iPhone or a Samsung Android or LG or whatever, those people are actually going out and asking the questions, or they're getting on doing their own podcast, and they're not only are they asking the questions, they're going to find the answers themselves, and then they're repeating that. They're getting that information out. So people who are looking for the truth start looking at podcasts. They start looking at videos, streaming videos that other people are doing. They start asking their friends, well, where did you hear that from? You know, and then they'll recommend, you know, so-and-so podcast. Go listen. You know, I like to promote Timcast IRL all the time. He's a young guy. He does a great job, has great guests on. He's a little bit controversial, but he stays within the boundaries too. He's still doing his live show on YouTube, which, you know, like most of his stuff would be, I think, banned. I don't know if his shows get banned, but, you know, he toes the line when he's live on YouTube. But outside of that, you know, he gets on Rumble or BitChute or Odyssey, and he goes for it. And he also gets the truth out. But what my point is, when people are looking for the truth, they're going to alternative sources. And today, you can be the alternative source. I mean, even if you do one podcast, if it's something that is information that everybody else isn't getting, who knows? One person picks that up and they share it with a friend, and those friends may share it with one or two friends, and pretty soon, you know, we are making a difference. We are the change. And I think, what did I title this show today? I got to go back and look. MSM is complete farce. Oh, yeah, reaction to current events. But part of what I was getting at is, where in the hell, so where are true journalists now? And does it even make any difference? I mean, if you think about it, college degrees are becoming basically worthless. We have all of these people, hang on, got to check the phone, could be an emergency. Nope, just Verizon, they must have heard me. They want me to upgrade my phone. Hang on, drink time. And where was I? Yeah, journalists, college degrees. College degrees right now are worthless. You know, these college graduates are begging for Biden to repay their student loans because they went and studied stupid stuff that wasn't going to make them any money. They knew that from the beginning. You know, like, oh, I want to go study French history. Really, why? What exactly are you going to do when you learn French history? You know, social justice. There's a lot of high-paying jobs in social justice. There's not. There's a very few high-paying jobs, and I think they already made off with the money. But yeah, so journalists, I mean, what good is it to get a degree in journalism today? You're going to spend a crap ton of money, and you're going to go to work for who? I mean, the local TV radio station, or one of the big, you know, corporate TV stations or radio corporations. And then they're going to hand you your daily reading material and off you go. Or you can get a podcast, man, and go dig into some of these sites. You know, there's a ton of great sites out there. Let me read through some of these. I know I've probably done this before. Actually, I don't think I have ever done this before. I'm going to go through. So here's some of the sites that I have listed. And I may repeat some. No, I won't. Maybe. Okay, so I have Epic Times. I have The Drudge Report. I have The Guardian. I have Mint Press News. I'm not even sure which that one is. I have Corbett Report, The Interceptor, Free Thought Project, From the Trenches, National Review, 1440, Daily Signal, Breitbart, and, of course, From the Trenches again. So those are sources that I consider independent. So those are sources where I can go and look for information. If I see some other story on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, which I don't really see stories there. I mean, I do. I see the headlines. I look at them. I go, okay, yeah, that's BS. That's BS. That's BS. And then I'll go look for the source material myself, or I'll go to one of these independent sources and see what stories they have and see what's really happening in the world or what could be really important. For example, let me go back to Trump for a minute. So China is basically threatening war constantly with, you know, taking Taiwan back or whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, man, we are in for some tough 2 years, because China has got to get this done before Trump gets reelected. Do you see my point? I don't even want Trump to be the president of the United States again, except I would love to see him piss everybody off. Especially those who are trying to convict him of completely ridiculous charges. Because if he and when he does get reelected, I really believe the swamp is going to get cleaned out just a tiny bit. Just a tiny bit. Like, it won't be what you think. Like, he's not going to get rid of every single idiot because all of them are idiots. But yeah, he would have a vendetta to settle for sure. But yeah, China's got to get this war done before, and Putin also has to get his business taken care of, because they know that Trump's not going to be joking around, like, and he won't be a stumbling, bumbling idiot like Biden, and, you know, with that limp, milquetoast handshake and freaking barely conscious, you know, mental capacity. You know, he's going to just tell him like it is. Yeah, no, you're not going to do that, or, you know, you're going to pay the consequences. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, so, you know, we have that to kind of look out for. You know, that there's going to be a lot of action between now and 2024. So even though you think things are bad now, God, hold on to your horses, man. It could get a lot worse. I don't know that it is. I'm just kind of looking at the big picture and thinking, well, you know, they didn't do it while Trump was president, and as soon as he was out of office, they started doing their stuff. God, especially when he... If you were Putin or... I don't know, Chinese president's name. I do, but I can't think of it right off the bat. Ping, I think. You know, if you just see the people that they line up as their, you know, pseudo-military representatives, I'm thinking, for example, of the Surgeon General of the United States and the Assistant Surgeon General of the United States, that just look like complete clowns in uniforms. I mean, they're not real. I mean, they didn't earn those positions, you know, when I went in the service, I went in as an enlisted guy. I worked my way up through the enlisted ranks, and then I became an officer. I worked my way up through the officer ranks. I probably could have stayed long enough to become a captain, maybe an admiral, surgeon general of dental. You know, they do have that. But I didn't, because I wanted to get in and get out and take a retirement and go start having some fun and not traveling all over the country and all that stuff. But yeah, these people, they were just appointed to be surgeon generals, and then they hand them the uniform and the fancy solid gold bars and like, oh, there you go. And they look like flipping clowns. You know, to any of us who actually did earn those ranks and privileges in the service, yeah, they just look like clowns. And we know it. And we can see that they're clowns. Now, if you don't think that Putin and Ping, you know, or their army's leaders don't look at these jokers and just see what they are, jokers, yeah, they're clearly aware of what they have to deal with. And I don't think it doesn't intimidate them at all. Not one single bit. Hang on, got a call. Which means might as well take a drink. Okay, I have some good news. Oh, no, let me get this. No, got a drink. Okay, I want to talk about Brittany Griner. Just for a second, because I heard something funny today. Okay, for those of you who don't know, Brittany Griner is the WNBA player who was arrested in Russia because she had cannabis on her. I don't know what it was. Probably, who knows, who cares what it was. We don't care here in the United States much anymore because we're trying to legalize it everywhere and we're doing a pretty good job. And it should be legalized. But don't travel to a foreign country with your weed, okay? Not in oil form, not in vape form, not in plant form, not in powder form. Don't take your weed to a foreign country. they don't, you know, really respect the rights of citizens of the United States when you go to their country. What I thought was kind of funny, about 2 weeks ago, I heard that, you know, as part of Brittany Griner's defense, you know, her lawyers here in the United States provided a doctor's statement that said, hey, she has a prescription to use cannabis for her whatever it is, you know, medical ailment. You fill in the blank or go look it up yourself and see what it is. But then, so that didn't work because, you know, whatever, she's in Russia and they don't care about, you know, your doctor's note saying you can use cannabis because, guess what, we're Russia and we don't really abide by that. That's not our law here. You should have thought about that before you traveled to Russia and maybe made some alternative legal, you know, adaptation to your medical plan so you didn't get arrested and put in jail here in Russia. But today I heard that she claims she doesn't know how this cannabis ended up in her belongings. And I got to tell you, oh my God, I'm telling you, it's the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media. I got to tell you, I worked in the federal prison system as a dentist, and I got to have some of the greatest conversations with incarcerated males at the institutions I was from. And this one guy, he was really funny, and he was telling me, sometimes I would ask him, you know, what did you end up in prison for? And this one guy was telling me, he's like, Doc, he goes, I know you're not going to believe me, but he said, I was hitchhiking. I got in a car with this dude, and, you know, the cops stopped us, and he had 12 kilos of cocaine in the car. And I'm looking at this guy, and I just kind of start laughing, and I go, I'm just going to tell you something. I said, in all my years of my life, I've never gotten in a car that had 12 kilos of cocaine in it. Oh, so yeah, Brittany, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that you got arrested in Russia. And I do kind of remember you protesting and kneeling when the national anthem was played and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm only going to be so sorry for you. I mean, I hope you don't have to spend a lot of time in a Russian prison, but kind of funny you're begging the United States to get you out of there now. Okay, I want to leave with some good, well, hopefully, oh my God, I got to cover these three stories. Okay, I'm going to make these three stories extremely short. I know you're laughing. But I'm going to make these three stories short so I can get to two that are kind of good news. Okay, number one, this is fake news becoming unfake. Yes, fertility is affected in males and females by the jab. And if you want, okay, I'll link this story in the show notes. So if you want to go read it yourself. But here's what I said a year and a half ago is true today, and that is that we are going to know the truth when the studies are done on actual people who actually got this jab, and we're going to know the truth through actual science. So here it comes. Number one, fertility is affected in both males and females. So when they say it's not going to affect you, your reproductive value, they're lying. They were lying then. They're lying now, and they're going to continue lying because they don't care. Birx said the jab was never intended to prevent against infection. Like, the jab was never intended to prevent infection. Well, then why did we get it? And then the next, can I say this? I'm going to say it. Can we just stop with the bullshit, please? So Paxlovid is a COVID-19 pill produced by Pfizer that has had uneven results in clinical trials and studies, but it is recommended by U.S. health authorities for both unvaccinated and vaccinated COVID-19 patients to prevent progression to severe disease. Complete BS, I'm calling it. Don't take Paxlovid. It'll likely kill you, and it's not going to do a damn thing. And then the other thing is, the CDC says it performed vaccine safety data mining, but they said that after they said they didn't, and then it goes on to explain that, no, they haven't done it. So Freedom of Information Act form was filed by somebody, Children's Health Defense, and yeah, there's been no safety study done on, what did I say, the vaccine. Says it performed vaccine safety data mining. No, they didn't. Okay, the two things I want to leave you with that is kind of good news. Okay, it's not great news, but it's not as horrible as I thought it could be. And you probably remember, probably at the end of winter, I was talking about some of the snowfall that was affecting crops here in the Northwest. And one of the things that happened that was, well, we thought was going to be a hell of a lot more damaging was this late snowfall that we got, I mean late, like April, May, that coated a lot of the cherry trees here in the Pacific Northwest. There's a lot of cherries grown here in the Pacific Northwest. And sure enough, it did affect the cherry crop this year. And we actually noticed it on our own trees. We've been harvesting cherries now for a couple weeks. They are pretty ripe right now, so we only have maybe another week and then they'll be gone. There's not as many cherries as we've had in the past, but the cherries that exist are big and they are sweet and they are juicy. Like all the energy went into fewer cherries, so they're just big, juicy, deliciously sweet cherries. So not as many, but they are fantastic. So if you get a chance to get some Northwest cherries, jump on it. Just have a taste and see how good it is. I'm telling you, they're delicious. And then the other thing is the almond crop from California. California produces a ton of the world's almonds. Well, a ton of almonds, let's say. I don't know about the world, but yeah, it's a pretty huge chunk. So the actual decrease in production from fires and from drought, and let's see, there was one other thing that affected them. Anyway, there were like three things that really affected the almond growers. Oh yeah, they had a late freeze also, because they're mostly kind of Northern California, Central to Northern California, the almond crop, let's call it. Well, they're actually only down 11%, which is kind of amazing. And they also had kind of the same thing happen with one of the varieties of almonds that they grow, because the size of the meat inside the almond was actually larger than normal. So fewer almonds grew, but they grew to a bigger size. And overall, It was only an 11% difference from the year before. So, of course, they are in a, you know, they are having drought problems there in California. That's going to be a continuous problem. And I kind of pointed that out late in the winter time again, when we were seeing how little water was actually flowing to California and how little rain they were actually having, especially in the central to northern part of California. But anyway, only 11 or 12% reduction in almond production. And I'm just saying this, just almonds. Like, it could be used for a lot of stuff. Amaretto, number one. Almond butter. You know, just eating almonds is very good for you. It's a very healthy nut. But yeah, so those two things I thought was really kind of cool, that it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be this year. And that's the show. I'll see you guys on Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.